It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from 12 to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we talk about some aspect of the law. We also welcome your legal questions by giving us a call down at the studio here at 636-1350. That's 636-1350, area code 707-636-1350. Every week we come in and we talk about some aspect of the law. Today we're going to talk about attorneys and clients. Attorneys and potential clients, attorneys and existing clients. And Rachel, what drew you to this subject?
Well, that's a funny question. There are a lot of reasons why there are so many things I want to say about how the attorney-client relationship works. You know, we have attorney-client privilege, which is wonderful, which means you can tell me anything that you want to tell me, and I'm not going to disclose it to anybody. And the reason for that is so that we have a truly confidential, truly trusting relationship. So the attorney-client relationship is unique and very, very special and very important that we both understand that. And most of the time, I really, really, really like my clients. And so one of the things that I wanted to talk about today was why we might not take a case and maybe talk a little bit about some of the cases that come in, and we'll talk with the client and we'll say, okay, well, we're not going to take your case and here's why, or we'll look at a case and we'll investigate the facts and we'll decide that we're not going to take the case and here's why, or down the road we'll get to a trial and we'll say, okay, well, here's why we don't think this case in particular is ripe for trial or a good case to try, and here are the reasons why. So
We've had
a few lately where we've needed to say, okay, we're not going to take this case. So we thought we would explain to you, the public, when you might have a case and when you might not have a case, and let you know that whether or not you have a case, you can bring it to us, we'll evaluate it, and we'll let you know our opinion.
I have a couple of red flags on as an attorney that I've developed over the years. Some of my red flags include if a client calls and they've had multiple attorneys that have rejected their case. That's a red flag.
It's a huge red flag in the civil litigation arena, less so in the family law arena. It happens sometimes, and there is often a really good reason for it in the family law arena. But when you're talking about civil law cases, where the attorney is usually working on what we call a contingency fee, which means you're not paying hourly, that attorney is working on your case, hoping to get a good result at the end and get a percentage of that. So if there's a problem and there are multiple attorneys, you know, you look at that and you go, okay, why, if the attorney is working for you basically for free at this point, why would you dump that attorney? So we'll look at it. I don't outright say no. If you've been to a prior attorney, I'm not going to take it, because sometimes there's a darn good reason.
Yeah,
sometimes
the prior attorney's sitting back and doing nothing on your file, or is not communicating with you the way they should be, is not putting your case forward in an aggressive manner.
Or what a couple of my favorites are, there are some really aggressive advertising attorneys out there, and you'll never meet that attorney. You'll meet their paralegals, you'll meet their staff, you'll talk to other people. You may meet that attorney and talk to them for 15 minutes at most. And if that's one of the people that you're seeing and you come to us, that is not how it's supposed to work. I mean, how can you, as an attorney, represent a client if you don't know them? So we take extra time to get to know you. If we're going to really aggressively represent you, we need to know who you are.
One of the red flags for me is when the attorney knows more about the legal aspect.
You mean the client?
The client. When the client knows more about the legal aspect of the case, then, you know, it's like they already went to law school on the subject on the internet.
Yeah, that's super annoying because most of the time they're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's true. Or if they bring in somebody with them who thinks they know more about it than I do. Well, if you know more about it than I do, then go take care of it. Why are you coming to me?
Yeah. Well, you know, the times that this has happened where somebody comes in with what they call an advocate, where somebody is advocating for the client but is not an attorney themselves. First of all, that breaks the attorney-client privilege, by the way, when you bring in an advocate. Second of all, that advocate usually doesn't know what they're doing in legal circles. They're going to advocate for you, but...
Which is fine. That's fine. But if they are interfering with the attorney-client relationship, then that's not going to work. And most of the time, like in the criminal arena, for example, the advocate is there to soothe and take care of the victim of the crime and be there to help them through the process. And that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But in the civil arena, mostly you don't need that. And if you have an advocate, then there needs to be a meeting of the minds between the attorney and the advocate, as well as the attorney and the client. And a lot of times what happens, and we don't have this happen a lot. So when I say a lot of the times, I mean, it's rare, but when it does happen, sometimes what happens is the advocate is aggressive against the attorney, or is, and that would be me, aggressive against me and is interfering with what I need to do as the actual real advocate and the actual attorney who needs to work on the case. And so if you have an advocate that is interfering or is aggressive against the attorney, it's not helpful. I can't help you with that.
Okay, let's do the scenario here. The client, you call our office at 544-9006, 544-9006. What you can expect is that there will be a paralegal that answers the phone. That's a certified paralegal. Both Emily and Kelly are certified. And if you call our office, you're going to talk to one of them first. They're going to screen your call and say, okay, what type of legal problem do you have? Now, sometimes you don't know what kind of legal problem you have, and that's okay. I've had the situation where somebody calls and says they've got an Indian law question. And then the paralegal yells out at me in the office, hey, who do we know that does Indian law? And I said, well, what kind of Indian law? Well, you know, a piece of roofing tile fell on the lady's head at the concert. Well, that's not Indian law. That's tort law. And so I can handle that case. And so we have cases against the Indian casinos every once in a while. And I can tell you, they have a whole set of rules that govern them. And so you want to have attorneys that know about the different aspects of making a claim against the casinos. But you're going to call the office and you're going to say what kind of problem, legal problem, you think you have. And if it's an income tax question, you're going to be referred to another attorney because I don't do income tax. If it's a bankruptcy question, you're going to be referred to another attorney because I don't do bankruptcy. If it's some aspect of workers' compensation law, sometimes I can help with that because it's really not a workers' compensation question. Sometimes it's an actual third-party tort action. So it just depends on what's happening. So I guess one of the reasons that attorneys will refer you on to another attorney is because they don't do that kind of law. That it's that simple. They just don't do it. I didn't even take bankruptcy in law school. You know, I don't do bankruptcy. I don't like it. And there's people that are very qualified out there that do.
And it's really complicated.
Yeah.
You have to really understand the rules to do bankruptcy law. So you need a specialist in that area.
Yeah. So I don't do that, but I have, like I said,
we don't do that.
Yeah. I've been a trial attorney for 36 years. I can do your civil litigation. I can do many different types of aspects of your case, and give us a call and we'll tell you, we'll be honest with you whether we can do it or not and whether we can help you.
And what we do is once you talk to one of our paralegals and they've, you know, screened the call and, you know, if we're available, we might even be able to get on the phone with you right then. A lot of times we're not, so they'll just take some notes and then put it in front of us and say, you know, here, give this person a call. So then what we'll do is we'll give you a call, we'll talk to you for a minute, see if it's worth having you come down to the office, and if we think it is, we'll give you a free consultation, and you come on in and we talk to you for a while and we evaluate your case. Sometimes we say, okay, let us look into it a little further. Sometimes we go, okay, yeah, you got a good case, let's go ahead and let's go forward on this. As long as you're happy and I'm happy, let's work on this. Sometimes we'll say right away, nah, this isn't going to work. And sometimes we'll have a look at it. So when we say, no, we're not going to do this, this isn't going to work, it's usually because the the problem is your fault. That's one good reason. I mean, if you get into a car accident and the car accident's your fault, we're going to say no. Or
we can't prove your case. We have the case where the tire came off the car, and we may not be able to help you with that because there's no evidence.
There's no evidence, and sometimes we'll take that and we'll actually look into it. We'll make some phone calls. We'll do an analysis. We'll do some research, you know. And once we look at it, if we just can't come up with, you know, the proof that we need to prove that it's somebody else's fault, I'm sorry, there's not a lot we can do with that. But we'll be really honest with you about that so that you can either seek a second opinion or, you know, realize that at least it's been looked at and you can go to bed at night knowing that it has been looked at and evaluated and somebody with some expertise has said, you know, this really isn't going to work.
We're talking today about the attorney-client relationship and why attorneys may or may not take your case, how we analyze it before we agree rather to accept or reject your case. If you have questions involving your legal matter, or if you have a question involving the law at all, give us a call down here at the studio at 636-1350. That's 636-1350. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.
Larkfield hears FM News Talk Radio, KSRO, on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Hi, this is Rachel Erickson from Kornblum Cochran, Erickson & Harbison. All attorneys think that they can represent auto accident victims, but not all can do it well. So the injured person needs representation that is personal, thorough, and well-versed in the law as it changes over time. You can count on all of these qualities in our attorneys and staff at Kornblum Cochran, Erickson & Harbison. Call us at 707-544-9006.
For more information, go to kcehlaw.com.
If your go-to pickup line is conventional or synthetic, then CarQuest Auto Parts is for you. If your high school sweetheart was a 67 Mustang, then CarQuest is for you. CarQuest is for those who really know and care about their car. And right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil conventional or high-mileage motor oil and a Purolator filter for just $19.99 after $5 mail-in rebate. CarQuest is serious auto parts.
Limited time while supplies last. See store or advancedautoparts.com for details.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. This is Charlie Cochran here in the KSRO studio with my partner, Rachel Erickson. We're talking about the attorney-client relationship today and why we don't take some cases and how well we'll analyze the cases we do or don't take, and we'll give you the truth or refer you on to another attorney, or we'll just tell you flat out you don't have a case in our opinion. Now, if we do that, don't take it to the bank. If we do that, we'll usually tell you we don't feel you have a case, but go consult another lawyer, because sometimes we don't think you have a case and another lawyer may or may not help you. So don't ever stop with one lawyer. If the lawyer says you don't have a case, move on to another lawyer to see if you do. And once you've run into about 3 or 4 that say you don't think so, probably it's a good...
No, if you have 2 that say no, I think you probably don't. But I do encourage people to consult with more than one attorney, because you might like one attorney better than another. You might feel more confident in one than another. So, you know, if you need a consultation, most attorneys in the, like, say for car accidents, for example, they'll all give you a free consultation. So there's no reason why you can't consult with more than one and just see which ones you feel more confident in.
Yeah, and do move on and consult with somebody else, even if we don't take your case. Now, if we don't take your case, we'll usually refer you on to another attorney that can help you. So give us a call first. Use us as a portal at 544-9006. That's 544-9006. And except for family law, I'll tell you that the consultation, if we do agree to meet with you, that consultation will be free. We'll meet you with you. I'll give you like an hour or hour and a half a lot of times and tell you whether or not I think you have a case. So I've got a potential new client coming into the office even this afternoon that I'm not sure whether she's got a case or not. It's an employment case, so I'm going to listen to it and see what she has to say. So that consultation will be free. And so you're never hurt by just calling us down at the office at 544-9006. Now, Rachel, let's say we do take the case, and we have a clause in our attorney-client paragraph that says the client won't lie to us.
Yes.
Now, we take your case and we find out sometimes that, in fact, the client lied to us.
I can't stand that, and I'll tell you why. Because if you've lied to me, our trust is broken. And especially like in car accident cases, employment law cases, your credibility is everything. And if you lie to me, your attorney, where everything is confidential, and I'm supposed to be representing you with not telling anybody anything, and you don't tell me the absolute truth up front, then I just feel like I don't know you anymore, and I put my time and my energy into you, and you lied to me. And that just, it breaks my heart, and it doesn't happen very often, thankfully, very rarely. But if you think that we're not going to find out about this lie at some point, you got another thing coming. We have access to a lot of information, and it may take us a while to track something like that down. But it does happen. Like you say, you've never had back problems before. And now since this accident, you have, you know, really bad back problems. But, you know, 20 years ago, you had a pretty severe back problem or had, you know, ongoing back problems. It's like, you think we're not going to figure that out?
Okay.
Or recently, the one where the lady didn't tell me she had a felony on her record. Come on. Please. And when I confronted her with it, she's like, well, I didn't think you needed to know. Excuse me. If you have a felony on your record, your attorney needs to know that. I don't care what kind of case it is. The attorney needs to know that you've committed a crime. If you've committed a crime, been convicted, I don't care if it's a misdemeanor, felony, I don't care. Your attorney needs to know that because it's going to come into play possibly. And if it isn't, I still need to know that.
Well, another area I just call them, you know, slanders on your record, really. Things like cannabis use. If you're using cannabis and you're self-helping yourself with cannabis to help with your neck or back pain, tell your attorney. Tell your attorney. I don't mind the use of cannabis in patients, but I do mind if you didn't tell me. Because the fact is, it's not, if it comes out wrong, it's going to slander your record.
It's going to make you look less than upfront. So what we have to do sometimes is we have to deal with things that, say, a jury might look at unfavorably. But we can't deal with it if you don't tell us, and then we get surprised by it later and we haven't dealt with it up front, then we've got a problem. So, you know, really you have to be upfront with your attorneys. Another reason why sometimes we'll take in a case and then later we'll have to go, okay, I can't represent you. The lie is one. Another one is I have a client right now who's really angry because she was hit by a drunk driver. And I totally agree with her. She's injured and it is not a good case. The problem is the insurance policy is a $50,000 policy. The case is worth more than that, but there's nothing else to be had. And she wants to sue the other driver. And I'm like, well, I've done my research. I did a background check. I know who the guy is. I know where he lives. I know he doesn't own anything. He's a young guy. You know, he's basically a criminal himself. So I'm going, what do you want me to sue him for? You want me to put all this effort in when there's nothing going to come out of it at the end? He doesn't have anything. So you're stuck with your $50,000 policy on his car. Now, to remedy that would have been the way that she could have helped herself is to have her own policy that was, say, 100, 300 policy, which means that, okay, this guy doesn't have enough insurance, but you have your own insurance that will cover you. So she wants me to sue this guy. And I'm like, okay, I've done my research. I'm going to have to give her back the case and tell her, here's what you need to do to resolve your case. I won't take any fees, but I can't sue the guy. He's got nothing.
Okay, here's another scenario. You've taken the case and you find out that the client has a prior injury to the same affected parts of the body. And, you know, at that point, we have to know that. But sometimes it's not even a lie. Sometimes it's not a lie by the client at all. We have had situations where...
Sometimes you can't prove causation. If you've had prior back pain and then you get in a car accident and you continue to have back pain, we don't have a doctor who's going to say the car accident caused the back pain. You already had it. So how can we prove that it was caused by the accident? And if we can't prove that the accident caused the back pain, then we don't have the evidence we need and we can't. I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do.
How about where the client's going to make a bad impression in front of a jury? That's one of the most difficult situations I know of, because it's hard to tell a client you're just not going to do good in front of a jury.
Or on the converse side of that, sometimes you have a client that probably could make a good impression, but they call it a trial for a reason. And they may not have the emotional tools to make it through a trial. It would be too hard on them, and you can see that because you've been through it, you know, before, and you just have to tell a client, look, you might have to settle for less than your case is worth, just because you really will not make it through this without some serious emotional distress.
Your client cusses like a drunken sailor.
Well, sometimes you can clean that up a little.
Well, you know who you are out there. Okay.
Hey, simmer down now.
So, you know, sometimes the client's just not going to make a good impression. And it's all about that. It's all about making a good impression.
Being truthful, being honest, being believable. Your credibility is everything. So that's why we tell you, you have to tell us everything. So if there's negative stuff that's going on, we need to know about it so it doesn't surprise us, so we can deal with it up front. And if you've had prior back pain, you have back pain now, we need to know what is the difference and how, so that we can maybe talk with the doctor and go, okay, is there a difference or is there not? Can we prove this or not? And we're talking about back pain just because that's one of the more common results from a car accident. There are a lot of other problems. And sometimes there's a really clear definitive moment in an accident where, you know, your neck or your back, yeah, you've had prior pain, but now it's a different thing, and you can get a doctor to testify for you.
How about cost of trial? Cost of trial versus the result that probably will occur. Sometimes we don't take the case to trial because we don't want to spend $25,000 or $30,000 in trial chasing $45,000 or $50,000.
Because you're not going to get anything out of it. We'll spend all the money on the trial. And then you end up with, and you have to go through the process for $2,000 or $3,000. It doesn't make economic sense. So we have to, these are some of the things that we have to weigh. And it's, you know, and there are cheaper ways to do some trials, but some trials are just darn expensive. A medical malpractice arbitration, for example, is going to cost you lots of money.
Yeah, I would say to get through a medical malpractice Kaiser arbitration, you're going to spend almost $200,000 in costs, hard costs for the experts and for the analysis and the nursing workup and all of the experts that are involved. So, I mean, sometimes it's just a question of costs, which, by the way, we can do a whole nother show on why attorneys don't take medical malpractice cases a lot of times.
They're very difficult. And I would say not all cases cost $200,000. So don't take that like every Kaiser arbitration costs that. It doesn't, but some might. And yeah. If you have that kind of question, that's something we analyze right up front, and we try and see what it's going to cost and do a cost benefit analysis for you. And that's one of the things that we have to do.
Yeah. And I just want to mention about medical malpractice, you know, the not only did the MICRA cap general damages at $250,000, they cap the attorney's fees, the amount the attorney can recover. So a lot of times the attorney won't take the case just because it's just not going to be economical. By the time the attorney puts in all their time plus the costs, the fact is it's just not going to be worth it for the client's case, and there's not going to be any big recovery day. So these are some of the reasons why attorneys don't take cases, why they take the cases and refer them on, why they don't take the case, why they have to reject the case once they've taken it on, or even heading into trial sometimes, why they need to not take the case all the way through trial. And we're bringing this subject up because we want you to know we'll be honest with you through the whole situation, through the whole case. And if we can't help you, we'll make sure somebody else does. When we analyze a case, we analyze it through the eyes of the client, we analyze it through the eyes of the judge and the jury and the attorneys involved, and we say, is this going to be a good case or not? So if you have a question, give us a call down at the office at 544-9006. That's 544-9006. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this has been Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.